This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor sent you. We out here.
Peace. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
This right here for the number one. Number one shit with your number one. You ain't number one, just another one. Now everybody saying that they number one.
Ring the alarm, the caterpillar keeps firing.
Yo, 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 it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, coming at you from the Hammered Weekend Wear compound. We've got episode 78 with none other than Phil Fowler, the living legend. But first, we got Miggity Mike, the mayor, in the house. What's going down, my man?
ODB, brother, I am just so glad to be on here with you and Airhead Nation. And did you say Phil Fowler?
Phil the Fowler, the man, the myth, the legend, the mini trucking legend. He doesn't like us to blow his head up, but dude, he's a good dude. Lots of good comments on that Instagram post that we did earlier this week.
I'm still in so much awe and shock that you finally tied that guy down long enough to get him on the damn phone to do an interview.
It's high energy, lots of good positive stories. We were really stoked that it actually worked out for us to have to re-record. Many of you have heard me say we, you know, sat down before. This was an opportunity for us to sit down again and actually get the recording. It's on the computer now, so knock on wood, barring any craziness, we should be good, Mike.
Hell yeah. Well, nothing but love for our boy Phil. Is a really good dude. Old OG. I can't say old because he's probably about the same age as I am, so I can't say old. But definitely been in the game for a long time. And I can't wait to hear the interview. I had a good talk with him first time we met at LST, and it's always good to catch up with Phil. That's for damn sure. But Jay, dude, down here in Southwest Florida, had nothing but beautiful weather today, and just pumped to be on here with you today with an Airhead Nation. So let's get to it, brother. What's going on this weekend? You got anything planned for this weekend, or is there anything this weekend that we should tell Airhead Nation about?
Hells yeah, but first I want to let everyone know, Sick Nick coming at you August 25th and 26th at the Lamar Dixon Expo Center, sponsored by Sparkles Detail. You want to follow Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram for more information. But Mike, this weekend is the Orlando Memorial Cruise. That's literally the first time that we recorded on-site at any show. We love this show. We love the cause behind it. It's the 13th annual, August 11th over at Ace. I think it's Ace Cafe. Beautiful location. I know you're stoked, Mike.
Hell yeah, dude. Beer, good food, and there with a bunch of damn trucks and a bunch of cool-ass people. You can't go wrong. Like you said, I believe it was 3 years ago. It was our very, very first time we ever recorded Our Lifestyle, the podcast. And it went down right there. Of course, it was at a different location, but definitely dig this new location. And you guys definitely come and check us out. We will have OLP first edition rad shirts with us. We'll have some stickers. We'll have some keychains. And fingers crossed, our hats, RJ, Eye Candy Designs, killed it. They are on the way. Let's see if the post office lets us down. It's a lot of pressure. But my fellow mailman and mail women, hopefully they can come through and they can deliver, and we'll see. Hopefully we have the hats with us this weekend, because I know there's going to be quite a few guys that did order those hats will be there this weekend at the Memorial Cruise. So if I got them, you will definitely get them this weekend. If not, I will ship them out Monday when I get back to work. So definitely be on the lookout for those things. They're coming soon. And Jay, with that being said, dude, big shit coming, baby. Wait till you guys see what we got coming for Airhead Nation coming up next. Shirt number Deuce is in the works, guys, and definitely excited about this one.
This is the one time I'm stoked about dropping a deuce, man. You know what I mean? But in all seriousness, biggity boom, you know, you said it. We've got the one shirt, still a little bit of the extra run that we did, so we'll be slinging those. Mike mentioned the hats. We will have some stickers, keychains, as Mike mentioned. Also, we've got this big reveal that we're going to do probably in the next month, maybe 5 weeks or so, with the new kickoff of the clothing line. It's going to start with one shirt, but so much more to come. I know, you know, a lot of guys out there, they spend their hard-earned money on different clothing businesses out there, including our friends over at Hammered Weekend Wear. But I tell you what, this one's going to be for the ages. It's going to go down mini truck history, one of the baddest ever, just shirts. And that's not just cutting a promo. That's straight up and down. So we're looking forward to it. Mike, I did want to also say that today we're recording our principal audio for this episode. It is 8/8/2018. What does that mean for you, brother?
Dude, you know what that means for me? Our girl, Morgan, has tied the knot. And big congratulations to Morgan and her new husband. That is one lucky dude right there. And, dude, it was beautiful, man. I seen some pictures on you know, the book face. And mad props to the guy because, dude, he landed him an absolute freaking bomb when he landed good old Morgan. So definitely everybody reach out. Morgan, congratulate her and him. And hopefully they live happily ever after, and you know, they have a good honeymoon.
Hells yeah, dude! I tell you what, man, she is a great figure in the scene. She even said it. She's kind of, I'd say, new school, but she's done a great job getting acquainted with people in the mini truck scene, full size scene, all the different scenes that they represent with their Vi-Air product. We already know Vi-Air are the best compressors in the industry. They support the scene, as does Sparkles Detail, our friends over there, sparklesdetail.com. So, you know, again, support the team that supports the scene, and that's Vi-Air. That's also sparklesdetail.com. So, you know, definitely love the shout out there, Mike. Super stoked. There's a lot of good things going on, and I'll kind of just say this, that if you listen to Carrie Bewley's the last episode, I mean, people loved it. So much good press, if you will, over that. We've got Phil Fowler on this one, as we mentioned. Next, we got the homie Carrie Iacino. I tell you what, man, what a good dude. Looking forward to that one. It's going to post in about a week, in about a week from after you hear this one. So, Mike, we continue to chug along. We, at the beginning of the year, said we're going to keep the pedal stomped. By all means, it has been stomped to the pedal, to the metal, and we're just super stoked, man. What are a few other shows you wanted to mention, like with Sicknick, pre-registration, and whatnot?
Yeah, Sicknick pre-registration doesn't end this Friday, guys. But Airhead Nation, this weekend, Tennessee is freaking the Spark Show. We had Adam on, and his brother, the Don, are putting on the Spark Show there in Sevierville, Tennessee. So you guys, if you guys are in or around, make sure you guys check out the Spark Show. Those guys have busted their ass, and they're ready to put on a damn good show. And it looks like Drop 'Em Where did it again, because that show shirt that they put out, that comic book theme shirt, artwork, looks pretty badass. So they did a killer job on that. So make sure y'all check out the Spark Show and have a good time, because I know our boys over at Sparkles Detail, Tim's going to be there. He was actually packing up some goodie bags and getting those things ready. And when you guys get those goodie bags at the Spark Show, make sure y'all look in those goodie bags, because not only are you going to find some stuff in there, but you're going to find some OLP stickers in there. So definitely check that out. But make sure y'all listen. We had Adam on, so make sure y'all go back and listen to what Adam had to say about the Spark Show on, I believe it was two or three episodes back. I think it was episode 75. If I'm not mistaken. I should have did my homework before we came on and recorded, but just look up OLP and you'll see the Spark Show on there. And it was a good one. And we wish those guys nothing but the best this weekend.
Hails to the yeah, man. The Spark Show. You can find him on Instagram, as we talked about on a previous episode. What's really good is you follow these shows on Instagram. You get a chance to see a little bit of what they're bringing in terms of the turnout. But a lot of these shows will promote, as they kind of move up close to the show, they'll promote different things about the show, and that's what I love. Remember, on our Lifestyle Podcast Instagram, make sure you click on our main profile. You can basically, in the upper right corner, click on the triple dots, and you can turn on post notifications. That's important. So anytime we post something, you'll have that right in your notification panel, or if you're on your phone, you'll see it pop up. So, you know, that's obviously important. So, Mike, I think, you know, when you think about the success that we've had, we appreciate lately a lot of guys are giving us shout-outs, including one of the homies. It's Randy Cowell, and it's C-O-L-W-E-L-L. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly, but I tell you what, Randy is someone I think that recently found us. He is on Instagram. It's Randy Cowell 78. And, you know, what a good dude. He gave us a huge shout out just a little while ago on Instagram and tagged, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 people. He said, make sure, you know, you're passing the word along. And we appreciate that because, Mike, that's what we talked about. It's easy to tag someone on Instagram. It's easy to, you know, hit the little arrow. It looks like a paper airplane. Send our posts to the homies. You can create a group on Instagram and you can send the cool posts that we put up. Put a lot of time into it. You may have noticed the last couple weeks really kind of been doing 1 or 2 posts a day. Just work has been busy, but we still find time at night, Mike, to record as much as we can and bring new content to the Airhead Nation.
Hell yeah. And guys, don't forget, this coming up Monday is going to be Mini Trucking Motherfucking Monday. So guys, be on the lookout because another one's coming. We're going to put one out this Friday. And then remember, we're doing every other Monday. And it's not really called Mini Trucking Motherfucking Monday, but I just said that. But anyways, whatever it takes, guys, we want to definitely appreciate all the shares and the likes. And it is just, it's continued to grow. It's continuously growing and getting bigger. And the word is getting out there. And we, guys, we so appreciate it. So we're just going to keep doing it, baby. You guys keep listening, keep sharing, and keep enjoying. And we're going to keep doing our damn thing. That's for sure.
Hails to the yeah. So as we wind it down, we've got Scraping the Coast 2019 coming live and direct. Also, we talked a little bit about Sick Nick. Also, we've got Slamber Party later this year that we'll talk more about. SparklesDetail.com. Order some Croftgate products. Hammered Weekend Wear. That's H-A-M-M-E-R-D, weekendwear.com. All Time Low Mag. Make sure you go to ATLMagazine.com. Order that 2018/2019 subscription. And, you know, hey, don't forget the friends over at Grindr TV. As I understand, Mike, they're getting ready to drop a new video on YouTube. I think they just recently put out a preview for it. And it's one of our friends over at Custom Car Show Productions.
Hell yeah. And guys, this goes out to anybody, everybody, business, shows. Come grow with us. And we want to push your product just like you're pushing ours. So hit us up. Let us know what you guys would be interested in advertising with us and joining the Airhead Nation team, the OLP team, and come and grow. Come grow with us. Come show and grow with us, baby, because that's what we're looking to do is we're trying to grow the scene and make this all work for everybody. So if that's something that you guys would be interested in, just hit us up and let us know, and we'll get you on board, and we'll start doing this together.
You know what I always say, right, Mike? The podcast is on the rise.
So come be on the rise with us.
With the OLP. And shout out to the homie Tony Boss Bolin, who coined the phrase that I just can't stop saying. You know what I mean? But seriously.
Hell yeah. And hey, Jay, before I forget, because I forgot last time, whoever that fucking redneck hillbilly motherfucker that came on damn Facebook and starts downing my boy ODB because of his yo, stick it up your ass or whatever the fuck he was talking about. If you don't like it, don't listen, brother. But thanks for all the putting it in fucking caps and everything else. So that's cool. That's our boy, ODB, and he can say whatever the fuck he wants to because it's his podcast. If you don't like it, don't listen. But, hey, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to go and actually make a post on the Bookface and on our page. So, obviously, you follow us on Instagram, you follow us on Facebook, and then you listen to the podcast to even know that he says, yo, 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 yo. So we appreciate the support there, dumbass. But hey, yeah, fans like that, we need more fans like that, brother. Hey, if it's good, if it's bad, good publicity, bad publicity, it doesn't matter, baby, because we're in this to win this, baby.
You know it, you know it. And I'll be truthful, man. I don't even know if I saw that. I did see one that was it was pretty much a hate speech, and I don't think it was this one. He was like, yo, 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 what are you, some sort of, and then he was using all this profanity, and I'm thinking, dude, really? I mean, so you just, I think you just swipe to the left on iPhone, and not only do you delete the comment, but then it gets reported, they get auto-blocked. So I'm like, come on, man, we're nothing but positive energy here. So if you got some bullshit ass, honky ass shit that you want to say, take it. I'm sure there's plenty of other podcasts out there that talk about that bullshit, but not here on OLP. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
You know what I'm saying? So, hey, dude, episode 78, love that number. That was the year I was born for those scoring at home. We got the homie Phil Fowler, Low Rollers. What a great interview. We hope you enjoy it. And you know what to say here, Mike?
Hey, guys, we look forward to seeing you guys this weekend. The Memorial Cruise definitely come up. Let's, you know, pump fist, fucking shake hands, hug it out, whatever you got to do. We're looking for trucks to profile on our Instagram page, our Facebook page, and we're looking for interviews. So definitely look forward. I'm looking forward to seeing Mr. Josh Miller. I haven't seen him in a while, and I love that dude. No homo, but I look forward to seeing you this weekend, Josh. So with that being said, Jay, Airhead Nation.
Yeah, he's out,
I'm trying to be number one in my son and daughter life. Don't you grade me next to these rappers, baby, that's degrading. My style got so
Yes, episode 78. Damn, 78's a good number. That was the year I was born. But it's even better because I got the big homie, Phil Fowler, in the house from the Northeast. What is going down, my man?
What's up, Jason? How you doing, bro? Nice to hear from you.
Hey, same, man. I like that little accent you guys have in the Northeast. It's like, how you doing, man? You know, you got a little bit of that, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Nah, man. I'm not a New Yorker or Philly guy. You know what I mean? We're a little south of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not the best with accents. I guess I probably, you know, pigeonhole everybody from the Northeast with that one. So I kind of messed up a little bit, but it's like, forget about it, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely not us, but we're good. It's good.
Okay. Well, listen, man, it's great to have you on. A lot of people know you in the scene. There's a lot of guys that may not, some of the young cats, making us kind of feel a little bit old. But why don't you tell the Airhead Nation, Phil, just like a little bit about yourself, man? Like, what do you do? And then we'll get into mini trucking here in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, my name's Phil. I'm from Delaware. I've been in Delaware my whole life. Married, got three beautiful daughters and a lovely wife. My daughters, Sarah, Anna, and Emily, and my wife, Danielle. You know, I don't know, work for the railroad, Amtrak, you know what I mean? Keeping the trains going, keeping people moving. So that's pretty cool. I'll be 43 years old this year.
Well, happy birthday coming up.
Yeah, November, man, November.
Yeah, dude. Well, let me ask you this. Like, what do you do? Because I've talked to you a little bit, and you're like, man, I'm super busy. I know you're a busy guy. Like, what do you do for the railroad?
For Amtrak, I work at a back shop, was where we do all the heavy overhauls and stuff like that. And I was a mechanic there for 13 years, working on the trains, doing various things. And about a year and a half, I got into a supervisor position, and I've been overseeing a program overhauling the Acela high-speed train set that runs from D.C. to Boston. So it's the fastest train in the U.S., but far from the fastest train in the world. But that's what I work on, man. That's what we do every day.
Hells yeah, man. You know, to kind of stick to mini trucks, one of the things that we took a different approach here is, you know, we've been trying to nail the interview down. You've been super busy. And we went into the Airhead Nation Facebook group, and I posted and said, hey, you know, we got Phil Fowler, the homie, is on the horn, and we have a question from James Day. And this kind of ties into where I was thinking as far as my mind with the question is, you know, what got you into mini trucking all those years ago?
All right. So I graduated high school in 93, and I wanted a 4x4 Ranger. I wanted to lift it up and put my dirt bikes in the back, stuff like that. And, you know, I ended up getting a 2-wheel drive Ranger, which, you know, I mean, wasn't really what I wanted, but I was like, ah, whatever. So cruising around my old neighborhood and stuff like that, and I see this Ranger come through by the, you know, one of the original members, the guy, one of the founders of Low Rollers, Franny Warner. He had an 85 Ford Ranger, and it was blue and yellow, two-tone, with a drip paint job, with five-star hammers on it, ground effects, and just a knocking system. And this guy would come through. Like, it's funny. Like, I used to make fun of mini trucks when I would see him going down the cruise strip. But then, like, I seen this thing go through, and something just hit me, and I was just like, holy crap, what is that? Like, and I ended up knowing his brother-in-law. Because I would see him over there. So I went over and I was like, dude, who is that guy? He's like, oh, it's my brother-in-law. So I ended up meeting him, and it was all downhill from there. And I just, you know, it was Franny, and you know, there was a handful of guys, Marco and Pappy, you know, I mean, was and Eddie, you know, I mean, it was the original guys from Low Rollers, and I would see those guys rolling around, and I was like, this is it. That's what I'm doing. So you know, I got my truck dropped, and you know, roll pan and the tonneau cover. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know, what do I got to do? And I started hanging out with those guys in 93, and I got logoed in 94, and the rest is history, man. Like, I've been here ever since and love it.
Hells to the yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I think a lot of listeners right now that were in the mini truck, and they're probably going, hey, something very similar is how, you know, I was kind of hit by the bug. Same thing. You guys have kind of heard my stories if you've listened to some of the older episodes. And that's really what it was. It was kind of that bug that you're like, dude, man. And you're at that perfect age where you're looking to have something a little different. Recently, I was listening to, believe it or not, I'll say it, some of the old Criss Cross albums, and I was watching some of the older videos, and I posted some screenshots. But, you know, in that kind of early to mid-90s, you know, you had that feel where everybody wanted, like, the little mini, and they wanted a knocking system with a crazy paint job. And, you know, that's, you know, I appreciate you kind of sharing how you got into it, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, and it was just great. You know what I mean? Like, I hooked up with those guys, and, you know, we had a little cruise strip down here, which was, you know, they've been cruising for, you know, decades, even before us. And, you know, you'd always see, you know, mini trucks and stuff down there, and we were down there, like, every night, and it was cool. It was right around the University of Delaware, Main Street, man. Like, we were there night and day. It was just cool cruising trucks and hanging out, man. It was awesome.
You'll remember, though, you know, those nights and those days for the rest of your life. You know, the good old days is what we call it. So if I'm thinking, you know, okay, boom, so you talk a little bit about a Ford Ranger. I'd like to talk about your Ford Ranger. Is it the same Ranger that we're going to talk about that was shot for the cover?
It is. The one I currently have is the same one that was shot for the cover. And it was on the cover of Mini Truck in January 2012. But I did have another Ranger prior to that as well.
Okay. So the Ranger that you own now, you kind of mentioned it was shot for the cover. How did you go about acquiring that one since it was a different Ranger?
Well, I, of course, like we all did, you know, like I got hydraulics on my truck back in 94. And, you know, we used to drag everything, you know what I mean? It's what we did. And for years and years, you know, just abuse and things got beat up, and I, you know, I was like, man, I really love Rangers. I mean, it's my favorite truck by far. But I was like, you know, I really need a fresh canvas here. I want a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So I found this 92 Ranger, you know what I mean? It was an old man's truck, unmolested, just mint, you know what I mean? So I bought that, and within 2 to 3 weeks, it was bagged and, you know, shaved door handles and everything. It was, you know, all my billets, I had billets on it and stuff like that. So it turned pretty quick, but, you know, it was through 10 years of different phases took me to get it to the point of where it was when it was on the cover.
And I tell you, the cover is cool. Love the you know, the layout. So, you know, you basically, you kind of build some bridges, right, over all these years. And you know, I've talked to you several times, and we've always talked about, like, how did you get involved in the Mini Trucking Magazine? Because I think in my estimation, you kind of forged some good relationships early on. And all these years later, it paid off with an epic cover shoot. So kind of tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Mini Truckin' Magazine, bro.
So going back to actually when I was first logoed, I was logoed at a show called Slam, and it was in where was it? Winchester, Virginia. I can't remember. Or no, Fredericksburg, Virginia. It was a show called Slam, and that's actually where I first met Courtney Hollowell, Tito. So like I met him, and of course, you know, I'm 18, 19 years old, and you know he's cruising around, he's riding a little dirt bike around, and you know, come cruising around in trucks and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? It was like, that's the guy
from the magazine. I mean, you know, like for boom, right?
Yeah,
there.
I was like, that's him. Like, wow. Like, you know, he's just blown away. Like, here I am in you know, this small town in Virginia, and here's the guy that, you know what I mean? Like, I put him up on a pedestal, like, you know what I mean? Like a superhero, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. Like, so I got to talking to him, you know what I mean? Like, I introduced myself and just like, was so excited, you know, like the excited little kid. And, you know, Courtney couldn't have been a more down to earth guy, just a humble guy. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, like this guy's talking to me. Like, why would he talk to me?
But yeah, you're a lot younger and you kind of looked up to him because you've been reading this magazine and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, so, you know, we met there and got to hanging out. And then, probably 2 months later, we were at a show in, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And, I was there, we met him and actually met Chris Schmidt there for the first time who, you know, Chris was one of the original camber guys with Courtney. Yeah. So, you know, I'm hanging out there, in East Stroudsburg with, Courtney and Chris Schmidt, you know, the original camber guys. And, you know, I really got to get to know Courtney, that weekend and, you know, from hanging out all weekend. So, I used to call and talk to him like all the time, you know, when he was, you know, back at the magazine. So I would call up and talk to him. And, I, you know, a lot of times I would call, I would get a hold of Lance March. And you know, so me and Lance would, you know, I got to know Lance and, you know, he's the one that I think put the first picture of me with my head in a C notch back in 95 in Mini Truckin'. And, you know, Lance had said, you know, one day I called up and I was talking to Lance. He's like, hey man, I'm coming out your way. This weekend. I said, really? Where are you going? Virginia? He was like, yeah, is that close to you? And I was like, yeah, it's about, you know, 3 to 4 hours. He said, are you going down? I said, I hadn't planned on it, but if you're going to be down there, sure, I'll come down and hang out. So I went down there and was hanging out with Lance, and I got to talking to him, you know, and, you know, I was sitting there talking about just the magazine and how he got started. And, you know, I was like, man, it's so cool what you guys do. Like, I really admire it. And, you know, how could I get involved in something like that? Like, you know, it'd be like a dream. And he's like, well, you should get yourself a decent camera and, you know, take a photography course. And, you know what I mean? You know, we'll see what you can do. You know what I mean? And you start sending stuff in and we'll see what it looks like. So, and, you know, he's got a Mini Truckin' shirt on, you know what I mean? I'm still young at the time. And I'm just like, man, like, well, how do I get me one of those shirts? And he pulled the shirt off his back and gave me that shirt. Like, you know what I mean? It couldn't have been just a cooler thing to do. And Lance was so awesome too, man. That he was just a man, always treated me very well. So to get into how I got involved into the magazine. So, you know what I mean? Like, he told me to do that. So I picked up a camera and I was practicing and it took a course and stuff like that. And, this was right about the time that Courtney had left Mini Truckin' to go to Street Trucks. Like, mm-hmm. Courtney came out, stayed at my house. Well, my parents' house, actually, you know what I mean? I was still
yeah,
young.
Yeah, sure.
So he stayed at my parents' house and, you know, he came out to cover our show at the end of Summer Bash. And, you know, so, you know, when he went back and, you know, I guess several months later, you know what I mean? It was going to run in the magazine and, you know, he had left for Street Trucks. So, mm-hmm. you know, Lance hit me up and say, hey dude, you know, I don't have information for your show. You know what I mean? He said, I got photos. He said, but I don't have the information. He said, so, you know, I don't feel I could write it and do anything with it because I don't have any information. So if you can write it up for me, you know what I mean? That'd be great. So that was the first thing that I actually submitted, was just writing our show, just a write up for it. You know what I mean? And then, a couple months later, Chris Schmidt, you know what I mean? Hit me up because I would see him around and Courtney around and Lance around. I would see all those guys at the shows all the time. And Chris was freelancing for Mini Truckin' and Street Trucks. And, you know, he was doing all that stuff as well. So, you know, Chris called me up and said, hey, are you going to Garden State Nats, which is a show in New Jersey? And I said, yeah. He said, I was supposed to cover it for Mini Truckin', And, you know, he said, I can't make it. He said, are you able to go up there and do it? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, he's like, yeah, like just go up and, you know, take some pictures, you know what I mean? Take detail shots and blah, blah, blah. Gave me a lot of tips and pointers. And, I went up and that was the first show I covered for Mini Trucking. And, you know what I mean? The rest is history. I got, you know, that was probably 99 was the first show, the first show coverage and stuff that I actually did the photos and write up on. I was doing stuff all the way up until, you know, it ended.
I know. And what's crazy is, you know, on episode 75, just a few episodes ago, we had the homie Mike Finnegan. And when you think of the handful of guys, and you think of Courtney and then Mike, of course, mentioned Mike Self, which, you know he's been around. You had Mike Schartzis. You know, you had Brian McCormick, Steve Stilwell. You know, you had those, like, core group of guys. And it's amazing to me how far the web stretches on from east to west coast. You know, all of these different friendships were made, or, you know, people that became contributors or freelancers and things like that. We had Brandon Burrell on recently. You know, he told some of the older stories. So I think it's really cool that we can highlight someone like yourself, Phil, that, you know, really had an awesome connection, excuse me, with, like, Courtney and some of the guys back in the day, dude, because everybody, Courtney was one of those beloved guys, man.
Courtney is, he's definitely one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I had a lot of fun with him and you know, going shows from, you know, the east to the west. You know, we used to go out to Texas Heat Wave every year, and, you know, I mean, he'd come out to North Carolina and Carlisle All Truck Nats, and, like, I would see him everywhere. So, you know, it was always a friendly face, always a very humble guy. You know what I mean? He was definitely somebody that everybody would put on a pedestal, but he was definitely on the ground level with everybody. And, you know, the world lost an amazing person when he passed, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing how he transcends even different, because, you know, he was shooting for a motorcycle magazine for a while. He always had his hands in mini trucks, lifted trucks, full-size trucks. And you could go anywhere. You can go to any clique, a group of people, and you know, if Courtney's name's brought up, man, I mean, he literally was beloved by everyone, and I think that's what really kind of leaves a mark when someone like that, you know, leaves the earth. It's kind of like everybody can look and say, dude, man, that guy really moved, you know, people, and people got behind him. You know, they believed in him, and I think that's good stuff.
He brought people together, man. You know, and you bring up, you know, Mike Finnegan, I remember, you know, when he was in New York and Burnt Taco, when it was, you know, dark green and, you know, getting it all done. And I remember when he first got it done, when it was baby blue, you know, or Porsche Riviera blue, I believe the color was, but I got, you know, I remember Mike moved out west. Like, Mike was a super cool guy. You know, I got to hang out with him quite a bit when I met him out here, on the East Coast. And as he made his trek out west, you know, it was cool. Like, we hooked up down at Mini Nats in Pigeon Forge. I don't want to say it was probably 2000 when he was making his trek out west. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we hooked up with him again out at Texas Heat Wave. So it was cool. As he was making his trek out west, you know, he had a bunch of guys from, you know, Low Rollers, you know, here on the East Coast, you know, meeting up with him at different shows. So it was pretty rad. But Mike is another guy he's just an awesome person. I mean, everybody. Lance is awesome. You know, you bring up Brandon Burrell. Brandon's great. Like, everybody you're naming, I mean, they're just really, you know, just awesome people. You know what I mean? And going to the magazine, you know, Mike Alexander was awesome. Ernie was awesome. I mean, everybody that was involved, it's really a shame that we don't have the magazine anymore. But, you know, it's, you know, there's still stuff out there. You know, we still got street trucks and, you know,
All-time low magazine.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you know, it's just good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. But, so tell us a little bit about how the photo shoot / cover came down for your Ranger, because, I mean, it's an epic truck, bro.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for that. So, you know, when my truck first got done, you know what I mean, you know, they hit me up like, hey, we need you to shoot your truck. And I absolutely refused to shoot my own truck. That's, you know, though I contributed to the magazine, like, I didn't feel, you know what I mean, that I should shoot my own truck. I just thought it was wrong to do. You know what I mean? So, actually the truck that is on the cover with me is, my buddy Tommy Pearson from Negative Camber, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I said that, you know, I shot his truck. So, you know, I mean, I shot his truck for the, you know, I didn't do the cover shot, obviously, because we were driving, but I shot his feature. But, you know, when it came to my feature, Henry the Kuiper was the guy that did it. So I hadn't met him before then, but, you know, he came, he was up in New York, and he came down, you know, to do the shoot. So that was pretty cool. So, yeah, he didn't understand. He's like, what do you mean you want to shoot your own truck? And I was just like, I didn't want to shoot my own. And he was like, well, do you want me to shoot this other one? You know, Tommy's. And I was like, no, I was going to shoot Tommy's, you know what I mean? So it was pretty cool to do that. You know what I mean? It would have been awesome to do the cover shot, but, you know, obviously you couldn't do it with driving it. But,
well, I tell you, it came out good. It's so you got to remind me, because the magazine, I want to say the last issue was it, because mine was in 2013, and then I think 2014, it was like the February or March was the very last issue. So you got in within the last like couple years as well, and I'm glad you did, because your truck really deserved that recognition.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. May 2014 was the final issue.
Okay,
I actually have it in my hand right now.
Oh, nice. Okay, and, yeah, and it has a Ranger on it, right?
Yeah.
The black and blue one?
No, it was a yellow S10.
Ah, okay. The S10's brought it down. See, I'm trying to blame the Ford guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to blame the Fords, man. It was an S10. I can't remember. It's a beautiful truck, but it was on the job training is the name of it. Daniel Hernan, looks like, from Indiana. Beautiful truck. But, yeah, it's unfortunate that we no longer have the mag, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. And one of the funny things is, in the old Clerks movie, I was looking at Kevin Smith's Instagram today, and he had a heart attack. I think it was earlier this year. He, you know, he's 48, I think is his birthday. And he went back and he was leaning on the wall where they filmed Clerks. And he said, you know, how many years ago that movie changed his life. And, you know, he obviously had the heart attack earlier this year. But in that movie, and I need to save the clip, there's the famous clip where someone... they fling the door open really quick, and they ask the clerk, do you have a hubcap for a 77 Pinto or something? And then he goes, ooh, Mini Trucking Magazine. And it's and I love the movie, but I remember in the back of Mini Trucking, they used to have like, or maybe, no, it was maybe the towards the front, they would have little, you know, this is what we're listening to, like the CD or tape.
Right.
They would have like little things, and they had that one time, you know, they had that little call out on there, and I was like, oh snap, Clerks, I love that movie. And I put two and two together,
cool.
And I always remember that.
yeah, there's definitely a reference to Mini Trucking in that magazine.
Yeah,
so,
man. For
but yeah,
sure.
I made my first debut in Mini Trucking magazine in Mini Laughter. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, those guys just constantly put my face in there doing something stupid or whatever, you know what I mean? That shows for the, you know, past 25 years.
Well, when I met you at Showfest 2012, and I turned around and I was like, you know, kind of the same feeling you thought when you met Courtney. I was like, dude, I felt like I knew you. You had your camber there. We're standing by my S10, and, you know, you gave me a lot of love and just kind of said, dude, this is a cool truck. And we talked, and it was so cool to actually meet you, because all these years, you know, the beloved magazine and stuff, but you were like what I call like a reoccurring guest, right, in the magazine. You know, we always knew that Phil would be there, and that, you know, you had that crazy smile, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, looking at your truck, I mean, Bada Bing was amazing, to say the least, you know, but, yeah, it was definitely awesome to meet you. We stood there and talked for quite some time.
Yeah, it was
that
good
weekend.
Times, man, for sure.
You know.
Well,
Samstown, man. Samstown was awesome.
Yeah, it was, dude, and I remember going to Showfest so many years. I know you've been to probably way more shows than I have, because especially being where you're at, I mean, you can kind of go 3-4 hours. I mean, I know you had to travel a lot too, but I tell you, Showfest was one of those shows that we just always enjoyed going to, you know?
Yeah, and when it was in Greenville, it was incredible until it went crazy. And,
yeah.
You know, the when it went to Samstown, it was great. You know what I mean? I definitely missed that show. It was good times, but I would have to say, you know, if I was going to go for my all-time favorite shows, I would go to Pigeon Forge Mini Nats, man.
I know. In the heyday, I've heard so many good stories.
Like,
and, you know,
insane. Just insane.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shows, I mean, I can't not talk about this. I guess that's a double negative. But your club, Low Rollers, you guys put on End of Summer Bash. You mentioned it earlier, for many years. Tell us a little bit about the show and then why you decided to end that tradition.
So we started the show back in 97 was our first year. We did the show for 20 years. So two decades was a long time, but it was an incredible journey, to say the least. So we started the show because, you know, we're a bunch of mini truckers, and, you know, a lot of the shows that we're going to, you know, we're just, you know, hot rod guys or, you know, muscle car guys. And, you know, we're pulling in or like, what is that? And we're like, you know, like nobody even knew what we're doing, you know, and maybe I guess when we were younger and you know, getting into it, stuff like that, and cruising around, like maybe you might have cared about trophies a little bit. But, you know, as you got older and, you know, you realized that it was definitely not about the trophies, it about the journeys, man. It was about the friendships and the stuff like that. So we wanted to do a show like for us, by us, you know what I mean? So, you know, we decided to throw this end of summer bash. And we did our first show in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, and it went really well. We actually did it with another group. It was a little club here in Delaware called Ninja Street Machine. So like they approached us and said, hey, you guys want to do this? So we're like, yeah, well, you know, we'll do that. So, we did it with them, and then we decided to go our own route because, you know, I mean, there were some discrepancies on some things, and, you know, some people had some feelings about this and that. So we're like, you know what, we'll just do our own thing. And we moved it to the Salem County Fairgrounds in, Woodstown, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it became a staple for the, Northeast for sure. Like, especially when you look back at the, you know, the early 2000s, you know what I mean? Like our, you know, and for a show out here, you know, we're getting 600 entries. That was a big show.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Dude.
So, but you know, like we had, our show was everything, but I, you know, would honestly say that it was almost an unofficial all truck show because, you know, the mini truckers carried us from day one. You know, there was a lot of people. I mean, there was people that were there all 20 years throughout. And, you know, we definitely had our peaks and valleys. You know, you had your good years and bad years, and you had, you know, weather related stuff. You know, you can't control Mother Nature. So, you know, it got to be a lot. And you never know what was going to happen, you know, with the weather and who's going to show up, which, you could always count on the mini truckers, man. Like, you know, hands down, rain or shine, those dudes were there. And I guess probably about 15 years, you know what I mean? You know, guys are getting older. You know, we all have families, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, not everybody's, you know, putting the effort in and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it was like, we kind of set a milestone. We're like, let's try to hit 20. So if we hit 20 years, you know, we'll end the show on a good note. And, you know, we did. We, you know, our 20th year had to be the ultimate show for us. We had, I want to say it was just over 450 entries, mm-hmm. Which was sizable. And I seen people that I hadn't seen in 15 years there. Like people just came out to bid the show a farewell. And, you know, it was really a staple out here for the Northeast. So, that was a huge deal. I mean, it was crazy. It was emotional. I mean, I honestly spent half my life doing that show for, mm-hmm. so it was like saying bye to something that truly meant a lot to me. And I still struggle with it. Like I miss doing the show, but I know that, you know, my life's really busy and, you know, the guys in my club, you know, I mean, a lot of those guys, you know, got young families and, you know, they're not doing the shows and the trucks and stuff as much right now mm-hmm. because, I mean, you got to do life first. Life comes first. I'll never knock anybody for doing that. So, you know, it came to, you know, it was time to say goodbye, and we wanted to end it on a good note. And man, it couldn't have been any better. Like, you know, these guys made gifts for, you know, for us, you know, for the show, you know, custom made coolers, you know, tailgate skins that were all, you know, painted up, and everybody signed it. I had everybody sign this banner, and it was really a family. Like it was so, so cool, man. It was like, wow. Yeah. And I miss it. I miss it every day. And it's funny, like, you know, we're coming up on, you know, the second year that we haven't done it. And every time I go to a show, everybody's like, when are you bringing the show back? When are you bringing the show back? So it's really cool that, you know, we affected people that much. And, you know, it meant that much to people. And, you know, there was kids that showed up there in car seats that, mm-hmm. you know, by the end, they were driving their own rides in there. So that was awesome.
Yeah, that puts it in perspective. It really does, Phil. When you do something or you create something or build something that, you know, transcends and so many people enjoy it, it is tough to sometimes, I'll say, walk away, but I commend you and other people. There's some people, they just can't hang up something, right? And I'm not saying it was, you know, it was time to hang it up, but, you know, there's, whether it be a football player or an actor or, you know, a hip-hop artist, you know, there's sometimes that you just got to, you know, cut away and you know, do things that are more important. And it takes a big person to be able to do that and sometimes say, you know, I got three kids or I'm busy or I got my career and stuff. And I don't think, you know, as many people can do that. And I commend you guys for, you know, hey, hitting your mark and then moving on.
Yeah. Well, see, and the thing is, I didn't want the show to fizzle out, to be like, oh, well, you know, I guess it's done. You know, I mean, I wanted to end on a good note. And I mean, just the tribute that everybody paid to it, like, it was just incredible. And I miss it every day. And there's a club up here called Diverse Rides, and you know, those guys Shannon from that club hit me up like after our show and was like, hey, look, I really want to do a show, you know what I mean, and I would like to do it on that weekend. And it was like a respect thing. He was like, would you care, you know, if we kind of try to fill the void with, you know, the weekend on our show? Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just like, yeah, man, that's awesome. So, you know, I talked with him and his guys quite a bit, you know what I mean, gave him some advice and on some things, and you know, shared ideas, and these guys did the show, and you know, it was their first year last year. They do it at Eastwood. You know, they make, you know, tools and equipment and powder coat and stuff for, you know, cars.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yes.
So they do their show at Eastwood, and which is actually coming up. This show is coming up. I don't know the exact date, but you know, it's the third weekend in August, so mm-hmm. It's going to be coming up soon. But after their show last year, like, you know, I was probably an hour and a half away from where, you know, we did the end of summer bash. Well, I left their show and I drove, you know, half an hour out of my way just to drive over to our show field.
Wow.
And, like I parked my truck on the hill where Low Rollers was always parked. And I just took a picture and really just sat there and tried to take it in. And I get bummed out. I truly do. I miss it. You know what I mean? You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress and, you know, a lot of worry, but, It was just cool being part and feeling like you made a difference for the scene and you made a difference for the people that truly look forward to it, you know what I mean, every year. And I miss it. And I assure people, everybody that asks me, I assure you that at some point I will do something again, and I hope that it would meet up to everybody's expectations. But it's going to be something when I have the time in my life and the support from, you know, my guys that have are able to get in and put some effort in, and you know, because I don't want to go in something, you know, half-assed. I want to go in something, you know, that's gonna, you know, impress and gonna be something, you know, that people talk about, you know.
Well, we know that it will be, man, because you put the time in, you've got your resume stacked there with plenty of, you know, 20 plus years of doing and going to shows and stuff.
I love the scene, man. I truly do. I love the people. You know what I mean? There's nothing that I could think that I would rather do. You know, my wife always talks about it. She's like, you know, it's just crazy. Like, you know, she asked me before, like, you know, you ever going to stop doing this? But, you know, she admires, and, you know, she complains a little bit, you know, when I, you know, go on a lot of shows here and there. But, you know, she thinks it's so cool that I'm so dedicated to it and how much it means to me. And just the people, like, I can't imagine anything else that I would have done that, you know, I mean, I've traveled from here to California. I have friends, you know, all over the world because of these stupid little trucks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, like, the trucks are what bring us together, but the shows and the, just the relationships that you get and create and friendships and the bonds that you have with these people that you would have never seen or known of, or you know, just mini trucking as a whole was just, It's incredible. You know what I mean? It's really cool.
It is a way of life, dude. And
it is, man. Like, you know, you got people that, you know, would have never picked up a welder or never picked up tools or never did anything. And, you know, because, you know, oh, I got a truck and hey, I can't afford to pay a shop, you know, to build this. And, you know, me and my buddies are going to get in the garage and do this. I mean, that's what we all did back in the day. You know, every weekend, you know, we're all in the garage just working on everybody's trucks. And you know what I mean? And it was cool because, you know, back then it was like, you're trying to be the first, or, you know, oh, I seen this mod at the show, I'm going to do this to my truck. So you'd rush home from the show and try to have it done to your truck on the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it was just awesome, man. It, you know,
it was. And I think you said it behind a lot of us, especially like with you in your situation, you know, your wife supports what you do We've mentioned that many times over this podcast. You know, it takes that. It takes a lot of dedication. So many of us, if you think back, I used to do this. I used to, when we had to submit our vacation time, like October or November the year before, we would literally go on Street Source, or we had the dates written down from Mini Truck and Magazine.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, take Friday and Monday off, you know, and we took so many of our vacation days just to go to shows, because that was like the thing, you know, we're going to see so-and-so, hang out, drink some brews, you know, get a little crazy, you know?
And people don't understand it. They're like, you know, if they're not into it, or just they've never done anything like this. And people ask me all the time, you know, especially with like going to Show Fest, you know, which is an 18-hour trip one way for us. So it was like, you know, people are like, oh, what are you doing? So, well, we're leaving Friday morning to drive to Mississippi, and we're going to hang out at the show and hang out in the parking lot until, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and, you know, cruise around and check out trucks. And then Sunday we'll get up and we'll start driving home. And then people are like, what? Like, you're going to drive nearly 40 hours round trip just to hang out in the parking lot with people? I'm like, you don't understand. Like,
this is,
like, it's not, it's what we do. You know what I mean? It's dumb. Like, you know what I mean? I spend more time driving than I do at the shows. But
I figured like, that out too before, man. I've done the same thing. And when we'd go to Show Fest, it was like 14 hours, and I think we'd gain an hour. So it was like, you know, I don't know if it was 15 hours or 13. One.
Right. Either way, it's a long ass trip.
Yeah, in May, the love bugs sucked every year, especially in Florida and the South. And then two, we'd get to the damn cornfields, and we're like, we got to almost be there. And it was like cornfields for miles. I'm like, dude, we went the wrong way or something.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, I like doing all these long trips. Like, I didn't drive to a Texas show until I did LST. 2017, you know, we drove the trucks out. Well, I trailered the truck out, with, you know, friends, but, you know, like we used to drive to Indy Truck Bash, Mini Nats. Like, I mean, you know, everywhere, like, you know, I went everywhere, you know, and I still go everywhere. Some people come at me, they go, man, that's awesome that you're still that dedicated and still putting in the miles and still doing what you do. But I, you know, I couldn't do it without the supporting wife and family that I have, and, you know, my club guys and all my friends from the other clubs and stuff. Like, you know, I'm down to ride. So if you want to go to a show, let's ride. I'm rolling out. So I'm always down. I love it. It's a sickness.
It is a sickness. And speaking of that, the homie Cliff Summers, you know, he wants to know, this is on our Facebook Airhead Nation group, you know, who's your favorite East Coast Mini member?
Oh man, my favorite East Coast Mini guy. I mean, it's gotta be my buddy Cliff, man.
Yeah, you know,
Cliff's,
man. That's
Cliff's
good.
My boy, man. Cliff, me and Cliff, we clocked a lot of miles, especially the past 2 years together. You know, East Coast Minis is a solid group, man. Just a solid group of dudes. You know, I love those guys. You know, I mean, everybody. I mean, I can't think of anybody out there, any club or whatever that I don't like. Like, there's solid people in every group, man. It's cool. But yeah, Cliff, you know, AKA Snake, because of the snake on the hood, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's funny, like when he first got his truck painted, you know what I mean, the Colorado, I was just like, man, what's up with that snake on the hood? And like, I was just like, man, I don't like it. And he's like, yeah, I don't know, you know what I mean? He said, I was not what I wanted, but, you know, it's kind of growing on me. And it's funny because like, it became like, it's like, a, you know, something that I was always commenting on. So I'd always call him Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, so if it's going to be my favorite East Coast Mini guy, it's got to be my homie Cliff. You know what I mean? He's a solid dude. You know, that's my buddy. But everybody, I love all those dudes. I love all those dudes, man, for real. But, you know, yeah, Cliff's my homie.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of Cliff, you guys, you know, you said a minute ago you're down to ride. You drove down with the homie Cliff all the way from the Northeast all the way to Slam Fest, dude. Why do you feel like it's important to make the track? You know, did you do it just because, you know, you had met Mike and Mike goes, hey, man, you got to come down. But like, what makes you, you know, we just hit on it, but what made you want to drive? That's a long ass way, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if you drive 24 hours one way to Texas, like that's not a long drive. I think it's like 16, 17 hours down there to Tampa. Like I was like, man, that's not bad. But, like what, I don't know. I've always, Slam Fest was just, it was a name, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was a show that I always wanted to go to. And, you know, I got to talking to Mike and, you know, I was like, I really want to go down to the show. You know, was it 25 year? Or was it 30 year?
Yeah, I think last year was 26, I think.
Yeah. So, but I think I really wanted to go. So I was just like, man, I got to make the trip down. So, you know, we committed to go and, you know, got to go down and, you know, check out the show. I loved it. I had a great time. It was amazing. Got to hook up with you. You just lost your father. You know, unfortunately, I mean, it's a terrible loss. You know, so yeah, I spoke to you, you know, briefly here and there, but, you know, got to see Bada Bing again, you know, just being down there at the palm trees. Like it was incredible. You know, we, you know, Camber guys down there, Mike Barsha, you know what I mean? You know, he invited us out. We went out to his house. You know what I mean? I finally got to see his dually frame in person. Wow. You know what I mean? Just amazing, mm-hmm. you know, just an amazing, amazing guy. Like he, you know, it was awesome that, you know, he invited us in. Mike's a super cool dude. One of my homies, you know what I mean? For sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was so cool. You know, it just made the trip. You know what I mean? It was just a solid experience all the way, you know, going over there and checking that out and hanging out with everybody. Slamfest it's a solid show, man. So if you guys get the opportunity, check it out. You know, it's, you know, it was worth the trip for me. I'm definitely going to make the trip again. That's for sure.
Hells yeah. One of my highlights, you know, I was in the vicinity, I think, on that Friday, you know, dropping some stuff off, and I almost broke my neck because there's the big major intersection right over by the fairgrounds, and I go, holy shit, there's my homie Phil right there, man, from the Northeast, and you had that thing just laid out at a stoplight, and I snagged a photo real quick, you know, on the iPhone, and it was cool, man, because, I mean, you're a dude from Delaware, and you got your truck down here, and you're cruising. It was nice weather, of course. You know, that's really why you came down. But all jokes aside, it was cool to see it, man. I mean, you roll, you, like you said, you're born to ride, man.
I love driving my truck. Like, I'll drive it to most places. I try not to trailer, but, like, if it's more than, like, an eight-hour trip, like, you know, I mean, I don't have a spare. I can't put stuff in my bed, you know what I mean? So it's like...
Sure.
At some point, I got to decide, you know, maybe I'm going to put it on a trailer for this trip. So, you know, we trailered it down there, but, like, I drive the wheels off my truck. And, you know, like, most people will see from the pictures and the videos and stuff that are posted, like, I skate that thing everywhere. You know what I mean? I'm riding.
I know you do.
Just pinned to the ground, man. You know, as my boy Posey always says, he's pinned, you know what I mean, when he comes to my truck.
One.
But, yeah, I love my truck. Like, it's my happy place. And I'll even post that up sometimes, like, when... You know, I'm cruising. I'll do a little my very few selfies that I take.
Yeah.
know what I mean. But it truly is like I get in my truck and I'm just riding and you know just listening to my jams. You know whatever you know whether it's you know my punk rock and hardcore. You know what I mean or just whatever's on and just it just escapes me. You know what I mean just it's just awesome times. Happy place, man. It's my happy place.
Hells to the yeah, brother. Well, I've got a few last questions for you. But first, before we get to those, Morgan asked, you know, she posted a very cool photo. I think it looks like it's from LST. I think she was trying to nudge you a little bit there and go, hey, what's your favorite photo ever of your truck? But damn, Morgan Hernandez, she really killed it with that one, didn't she?
Yeah, Morgan got a killer shot, and I was honored that they actually used it in one of the little, you know, via ads on their Facebook page. So I was really honored to have that. Yeah, it was definitely a killer shot. I appreciate every picture that everybody sends me for sure, man. Like, you know, I love my truck. I really do. I'm not, you know, I don't know. It's just, I like it. It's cool.
Yeah,
so,
dude.
But that's a solid photo that Morgan did. So thank her for that.
Well, and you've kept it all these years. You know, a lot of guys go back and they go, I wish I wouldn't have sold my first ride. I wish I wouldn't have sold my mini truck back from, you know, 2000. You know, we just heard from the homie Kerry Bewley on episode 77. He sold his truck in 2000. It's 2018.
Bewley's Bodyworks.
Yeah, boom. Bewley's Bodyworks. He gets it back. But like you hinted in the beginning, you still have the other Ranger, plus you have your famous, this other famous Ranger. I mean, that's pretty kick-ass, dude.
No, I don't have the original one. I sold it.
Bad.
You know
okay.
what I mean? I sold it off, so... Yeah, so I have the Ranger that I have now. That's the only Ranger I currently have.
Well, that's all you need, because I was going to say, if the other one's sitting and it's been sitting for 20 years, I was like, I don't know how good a condition it may have been in.
No. It was definitely been run hard, so it was beat up from the feet up. But
yes, sir.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Yeah, I love my truck. I want to build something else, and you know, people are always like, oh, man, are you going to build something old or build a hot rod or build a muscle car or this or that? Like, I love mini trucks. You know what I mean? I love them. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, full size would be cool, but I really just enjoy driving a mini. You know what I mean? My next build, I do want to build an old truck. I want to build a 53 to 56 F-100. But my next build for, you know, especially mini truck, and it's going to be a Space Cab Isuzu. Like, I've loved those trucks since I've seen Radar's truck, you know what I mean, in person in the Texas Heatwave. Or actually, I seen it first in Mini Nats. But, like, just I used to hate – I hated that back window. But now, like, it does it for me. I'm just like – it's just – since I seen his truck in person, like, it made me fall in love with his truck. So – I'm constantly tagged and stuff on Facebook for space cabs for sale. Like, everybody knows I'm kind of searching for
one. Yeah, itching.
Yes, yeah. I definitely got the itch. So, you know, I've missed a couple, you know what I mean, here and there that I definitely would have jumped on, but I haven't had the right now. It's not the right time for me to get something. So I do appreciate everybody tagging me and stuff. But, you know, it might be a little bit. You know, I mean, just life's so busy and, you know, doing some other things, so I don't really have the money to dump in to buy another truck, especially build it right now. So, I will build a space cab, but I'll always be in a mini truck. I don't think I'll ever sell my Rager. You know what I mean? You know, people always ask me, like, well, what'd you sell it for? Well, I mean, it's not, I don't know. It's a 92 Ranger. Like, what's it worth? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, it's worth a ton to me because I enjoy it. I don't think I could sell it. Like, if somebody came up with stupid money, you know what I mean? I guess I would have to sell it, but, yeah. you can't pass up a killer opportunity, but, you know, I don't think it's worth stupid money. It's worth the world to me. You know what I mean? I enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. So, and that's what, you know, we've seen trucks sell for a lot and people are like, oh, I can't believe someone made that much. And then, you know, you see a truck, say, oh man, these trucks are worth way more. So, It depends what someone's willing to pay. We saw Square Body Syndicate C10, right? Amazing truck. When I think he was on C10 Talk, you know, he mentioned, like, everything he builds is kind of rattle can frame and super clean and super badass truck. Sells for 106 grand. You know, some people would be like, wait, what? But, you know, it has the GM Design Award. It has that prestige, that type of thing. Famous truck. So it really depends. There's a lot of mini trucks floating out there. You know, when you go to Modified site, there's a lot of, you know, XSEMA builds and stuff. So it depends, man. If everything lines up, you can sometimes get a pretty penny. But, you know, you drive your truck and you enjoy it. So I could see why you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ask for every seat. Like, and I hate that, like, you know, people... You know, if somebody puts a price tag on their truck and everybody's like, oh, that guy's crazy. It's just an F10 or it's just this. It's just that. Everybody's truck is just something. You know what I mean? So, you know, if somebody wants that truck bad enough, you know what I mean? And this is what the guys want. Like, why hate on it? Everybody talks so much trash. It makes me nuts. But, and you know, we're our own worst enemies. And, you know, you see a lot of killer trucks go for, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 and, you know, it's like, oh my God, like, I know that guy probably had 40, 50 grand into that truck and he took a total bath. So, but, you know, as a scene, you know, we kind of deplete the value ourselves and, like, oh, well, I could build it for that. You could build it for 40 or 50 grand unless you're doing everything yourself. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's just a shame. Like, you know, I mean, look at Last Look when it was just on, what was that show?
The TV show. Yeah. What's.
Yeah. When it was just on, like, and they said 100,000, you know what I mean? Everybody's minds are like, oh my God, that's dumb. Like, I would never pay that. Well, yeah, you would never pay that, but you know what? It's worth that to somebody, or maybe not. Maybe it's just an astronomical number and maybe it's not a reality, but why knock it? Like, that's incredible. If somebody would give that guy 100 grand for that truck, awesome, do it. You know what I mean? That's great.
Yeah,
like, quit knocking down the value of stuff that, you know what I mean? Some people put their heart and soul and their, you know what I mean? They're, you know, all the money they had into these trucks and to turn around. I mean, building a mini truck is a terrible financial investment because there's no return on them. But in reality, like, if somebody were to try to build these trucks, like, you can't touch them for nowhere near what you could buy them for. You can't build them for nowhere near what you could buy them for. So,
hell to the yeah, man. And there's a guy in Florida that builds Lincolns and he sells them. And earlier today, one popped up and, you know, he's asking 120 grand now. No normal person's going to buy that. You know, it's hard to find a convertible, you know, that's in good condition. And then you're going to cut it up. You're going to lay it out and stuff. But, you know, when there's football players and basketball players and sports figures, and they're making, you know, $50 million contracts, and granted, I know they're paying a lot in taxes and all that stuff, but you know, when you're making $10 or $20 million and that type of thing a year, I mean, to go yeah. and spend $40,000 or $60,000 or $100,000 on a car, it's like fucking peanuts. You know, a night out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So it is a little crazy, but what I did want to do is kind of just wind down with a few what I'll say kind of shorter questions. You know, in my mind at least, where do you see the mini trucking culture / you know lifestyle in 15 to 20 years, Phil?
I mean, you know, it sucks that they're no longer building mini trucks as far as, you know, producing them. So, you know what I mean? Everything's going to get older and harder to find and, you know, essentially more valuable. But I would imagine that, you know what I mean? People are still going to be building stuff, you know, like if you would have asked me back in 93, if, you know, in 2018, do you think people are still going to be building these? Well, I wouldn't have a clue.
Right.
But like you look at the way stuff was built back then versus the way stuff's built now, and it's mind blowing. I mean, you know, mini trucks have changed the game on the way a lot of stuff is built. You know, I mean, air ride suspension, like, you know, that was started in our scene. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much that we've brought to the table. And, you know, you get a lot of street rod guys, they'll see stuff and they're like, oh, man, like, you know, they don't really know the work that goes in. And then they see like a guy did a full chassis build. And, you know, I mean, it's not like you just cut springs out of a car, like, which, you know, some people are like, oh, what you do? Just take the springs out? It's like, no, like, you know, like there's a lot to it. So, I mean, who knows what we'll be doing in the next 20 years. But I definitely think that they will still be a scene. I feel like there's a rise back in coming back in, you know, mini trucks for people building them. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of old school guys that, you know, probably disappeared for 10 years. That are coming back, and it's really cool to see the old faces and reconnect. And, you know, a lot of people are like, man, when did you start building again? And I'm like, I never left.
Right. Like, yeah. We're
like, oh my God, like, you've been around that long. Like, yeah.
That stayed around all the years.
Die hard, man. Die hard.
Yeah. Like Bruce Willis, man. Okay. Yeah. So the next one I got for you is, and this is a good one. This is what I love social media for. The homie Chris, I think you say it, Wegman, Wegman.
Yeah, Wegman.
Wegman, he said, hey, don't forget to ask him about the skateboards and the good old days and maybe some of the – do you still have any of that old stuff? Or, you know, can you tell us about the skateboarding days?
I love skateboarding. I love skateboarding today as much as I did when I was 8, 10 years old. You know what I mean? I was still skating a few years ago, and I racked my knee, and I haven't been on a board in a while. I still snowboard quite a bit, like all winter long. Like I'll go as much as I can. Yeah, most people are going, yeah, right, your fat ass snowboards. Yeah, my fat ass snowboards. And skating I really haven't got to do much of, but I have a bunch of decks on my walls in my garage. A lot of band boards, and I have some old pal stuff. Nothing too crazy. Some of the stuff is a local skate shop that I used to work at, and Switch, and you know, my buddy Joey and Tyler own the shop. You know, they, a bunch of, you know, their shop decks I've bought because I've known the artist that did the artwork and stuff like that. So I got all them hanging up. But my boy, Chris Wegman, I happened to be in his garage one day and we were looking at his truck, and I was just like, I looked up and hanging from the wall, I see a skateboard. I said, what is that? He said, what? I said, that. And I'm pointing at the skateboard. He was like, that's my Jeff Kendall. I said, why? Well, I see that, but why is it hanging there? And he was like, I don't know. It's been there for like 20 years. And I'm like, what are you doing with it?
Yeah. You're like, dude, they can't just sit there.
Yeah. I was like, you know, like, what are you doing with it? And he was like, nothing. Why? You want it? And I was like, I'll buy it from you. He's like, no. He's like, do you want it? And I was like, well, yeah. I said, but you know, I mean, like they're worth money. Like, you know, at least let me pay you something for it. He said, Phil, are you going to sell it? And I said, no. He said, well, then just take it. He said, you appreciate it for what it is. He said, you know, so, you know, I'd rather you have it and be happy you have it and enjoy it than, you know, like, I don't want anything for it. It's just an old skateboard hanging from my garage. So, yeah, Chris hooked me up with this killer. I want to say it's a 1985 graffiti Jeff Kendall killer deck. You know what I mean? Incredible. So, yeah, he hooked me up with that. So, I love my skateboards, man. I love to watch kids skating and, stuff like that. So it's cool.
Man. Well, I tell you, it's cool anytime you can hook a homie up like that in terms of giving them something. If I've tried, you know, I'm a pack rat, but like if I've got something that I think is someone else would enjoy more, I will, you know, give that item to that person as, you know, if they're a close friend. So I think that's pretty cool. The next question I have for you is, do you have any advice for like a young person? So you mentioned earlier that you saw some of the young kids that were in strollers, then boom, they grew up 20 years later at your show and they're out there. But we've seen some younger guys, you know, 25, 30 years old, maybe they got a brother or a sibling or a neighbor that got them into it. Do you have any advice for someone that's kind of looking to get in the scene as far as mini trucking?
Well, yeah, I mean, dive in, you know what I mean? Like, I would say get in. It's you know, it's definitely a great scene, a great group of people. I got my phone hanging in the background.
It's all good. So, it's probably Ron Perkins calling for a hammer weekend wear. Sorry.
Yes. Love Ronnie Perkins, man. Hammer weekend wear is awesome. Killer threads. But my advice would be just jump in and, you know, one of the problems I see in the scene that I think that, you know, probably turns people away, like people knock everybody's stuff. Like, not everybody, but there's definitely some, you know, egos out there and guys that, you know, unless you've got, you know, the newest, you know, stuff built and laying out on, you know, 28-inch billets and, you know what I mean, like full paint, full chassis, you know, guys knock it. So if a guy pulls in with a truck and, you know, it might be just bagged on 18s and, you know, not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, I mean, it's not like a finished truck.
Sure.
And people knock those guys. They're like, you didn't got this and you got that. Man, ignore those guys. My advice is, find a good group of people that you enjoy being around, and, you know, those guys suck. Don't let them influence who you are. You know, build your truck at your pace and how you like it, not how they want it. And just you know, hook up with good people, and you'll find a family in the scene for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Well, you know, when I look at some of the comments out here, the homie Chris goes, hey, man, make sure he runs for president. You know, we know Phil Fowler. We could see your face. You know, one of my favorite movies is Back to the Future, and you had Mayor Goldie Wilson. You know, I could see you on like a T-shirt, man, because you just got that smile. You know, you're a positive dude in the scene. You've been repping from east to west. You've helped the magazines, as you mentioned, Mini Truck until the end. You know, we got nothing but, you know, for love out there for you. And, you know, what's actually another question just came in from Matthew Cat, McCutcheon. What other favorite Ranger do you like out there? So you got an epic one. What's one of your other favorites?
One of my favorites has got to be, Tony from NC. He's got the Blue Ranger, the Cut to the Doors, Incomplete. He's from West Virginia. Tony, I've known Tony for years, going back to shows in the '90s at Carlisle. You know, he was with, Extreme Dreams. But his Ranger is still incredible. You know what I mean? It hasn't been out in several years, but I'm pretty sure it was featured in Street Trucks, but that is definitely one of my all time favorite trucks. And unless you're a Ranger guy, like, you would never notice, like, you know, the radius doors and, you know, the radius bed corners and stuff like that. Like, there was just so much detail in that truck. You know, Jody Hall's Ranger back in the day.
Yeah.
Chris Lindsay just built, you know, from Aftermath, just built this, you know, or redid the Ranger that, I can't remember, you know, I know Ronnie had it from Camber in Texas, but, you know, it was the truck was built at Wicked Customs. I just can't remember who owned it, but that was a killer truck. God, I mean, there's so many, you know, and I got CRS, I'm getting older now, so sometimes, like, you know, like, names just don't come to mind, and I'm like, oh, man, what's that guy's name? So I don't want to mess up somebody's name.
It's all good. Let me ask you this.
I love all the trucks. I'm partial to Rangers for sure.
The blue one that you mentioned, I've mentioned this before on past podcasts. Was that one of the ones that was like, you could, I mean, it was like, it tucked the most wheel ever. I forget, you know, it had a smaller wheel on it, but
yeah,
it was crazy. Yeah, and it was in Street Trucks. Yep.
Nietzsche Spikes, I want to say they are. It tucked in an insane amount of wheel. Beautiful truck. And Tony's an incredible guy. Travis Dennison is another Ranger, the extended cab out of Ohio that Little Shop built. God. Just that truck is incredible. Ronnie Wells with his Green Ranger, and he's got another brown one, two-tone or tritone, I guess. You know, I mean, just there's just so many killer trucks out there. So
hells yeah. You know. Well, I did want to squeeze this in too, that the homie Cliff, he recently sold his green S10. It's now down here in the care of I Hate Phil in Florida. And yeah. I saw on I Hate Phil, I think on his, it was either, I don't think it was Snapchat because I don't go on there as much, but it was on his Instagram story. He had posted a video of him driving it, and he made a joke. He's like, I've driven this truck more in like 2 days than it's been driven in however many years. I knew the truck for years, but I didn't realize that Cliff owned it. So I thought that was cool yeah. that famous truck now resides in Florida.
And what's cool is, like, I shot that truck. I seen that truck come from, you know, just lowered with, I think it had wire wheels on it. He had, you know, I want to say the Joker or the Riddler or somebody on the tailgate. You know what I mean? Like, back in the 90s, you know what I mean? And I've seen that truck come along to what it is. And Cliff loved that truck. And, I mean, he really took care of it. The problem is, like, he couldn't get it inspected in Delaware, so he never really got to enjoy it. But, you know, so he sold it, then he bought it back, and then, you know, he sold it to Rich Gentner, and, you know, then, you know, he got it back, and then Phil got it. But, like, it's really cool that Phil Gordon is really, like, he loves that thing, I feel, just as much as Cliff did. And it's really cool to see him driving it, enjoying it, and, you know, I mean, the truck's been done for several years, but, it, I mean, still mint. Like, it's a super cool truck. And the one thing, you know, people either love that truck or hate it. I've always thought it was incredible and unique. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. I'm really excited to see Phil have it and enjoying it and driving it and loving it as much as Cliff did. So I know that's got to make Cliff happy as well.
I agree. And, dude, I just want to say, you know, as we wrap it up, that, you know, we could hear the passion in your voice earlier, you know, talking about how you enjoyed the show that you guys put on for so many years. You know, you're one of the guys that, if I were to, you know, look in a dictionary, what is mini truck? And, you know, your name is there. I mean, I think you really deserve, and I know you're not a guy like so many others. Even Sean Mahaney wasn't a guy that wanted the recognition, but, you know, you're a guy that really deserves it. You've been doing this a long time. You've been hustling. You go to shows. You don't cop out like so many people do. And, you know, I just say, boom, I salute you as a fellow enthusiast in the scene, bro. And, you know, our lifestyle, the podcast, we got a lot of respect for you, bro.
Thanks, man. Yeah, stay humble, man. That's, you know, some of these people put themselves up on a pedestal and get these egos, man. Look, if you build a cool truck, oh, that's cool. Don't shit on nobody because you think that you just reinvented the wheel. Like, you know, everybody's been building cool stuff for years, and, you know, just don't become a rock star. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, come on, really, you know?
Yeah, some guys, I see them just mistreat people, and, like, it's crazy, and you know, people always make a big joke of it. You know, John Beebe did the Fowler for President shirt. Love John and Jen, and you know, everybody at Drop Home, Chad and Crystal. But John, back in 2008, made a Fowler for President shirt. There were stickers, and it became definitely a big joke up here in the Northeast. And, you know, actually, with the 2008 election, I got people that actually called me or emailed me and said, hey, by the way, I actually wrote you in. I'm like, no way. Like, you know, don't vote. Please don't waste your vote on, you know, something silly. But it was kind of funny. But, yeah, I'm just a humble guy, man. I walk around at shows and, you know, I hear people saying, oh, that's Phil. And, you know, people like, you know, my friend's kids, you know, they came up to me and they're like, oh, we were just over there and you went walking by. And these people are like, oh, my God, that's that guy Phil. You know, he's got that Ranger over there and this and that. And it's like, man, look, if you see me at a show, come up and talk to me. Like, you know, I'm not a rock star. I'm not anybody special. I'm just a mini trucker just like you. You know what I mean? I just go to shows. I enjoy it just as much, if not probably more than you.
Yeah, but, right.
But you know, come hang out. You know what I mean? I don't drink. I would say, you know, most people are like, oh, we'll go have a beer. But, you know, like, I'm down to hang out. Bullshit. You know, we talk about trucks, talk about life. I don't care. Just, you know, just enjoy the scene. Enjoy the shows. Good stuff.
Well, that's it, homie. I mean, you gave a shout-out to the wife and the family earlier. Was there anything else you want to share with the Airhead Nation?
I got to give a shout-out to my club, Low Rollers, man. You know, I don't even think we really touched on it. We touched on our show, but, you know, my club, you know, guy Marco and Franny started the club back in 92. It was kind of a joke. And, you know, I started hanging out in 93. And, you know, here we are 25 years later. You know, I mean, you know, definitely not as big as we used to be, but we're – you know, mini trucks aren't as common as they used to be, but, you know, we're just a small club based out of Delaware. Mm-hmm. We've been around for 25 years, and, you know, it's cool to go coast to coast and people recognize, you know, recognize myself. They recognize our logo, and it's definitely it's been a huge part of me, and I love my club. I love all the guys, you know what I mean? Some of them are really busy and just, you know, kind of doing life and kids and stuff like that. And, you know, not everybody has the luxury to just jump up and go to shows all the time. And, you know, but, you know, it's a family, you know what I mean? So love my club. Shout out to Low Roller. Shout out to all my friends and, you know, everybody, you know what I mean? That, you know, gives me props on the truck. Shout out to everybody in the scene. You know what I mean? Definitely big shout out to my wife, Danielle, my beautiful three daughters, Sarah, Emily, and Anna. You know, my parents, everybody that's ever supported me in doing this, it's just cool. You know what I mean? It's fun stuff. I love it.
Hells yeah, dude. Well, hey, you're a hustler. You work hard. You enjoy yourself. You go to shows. You got an awesome family. It doesn't matter what state you're in. You can be in the Northeast, the South, the West Coast. You can enjoy the you know, the scene of ours is what we call it. You know, the mini truck scene. It's vast, and there's a lot of good people out there. And what we love to do, as you know, Phil, is highlight some of those good people on Our Lifestyle, the podcast. We appreciate you coming on as a guest. And, you know, we tell a lot of the guests the same thing. If you ever want to come back on, or you think of more stories, or you just want to come have a good time for 15, 20 minutes, let us know. And we'll have you on as much as you want, bro.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate that. Now, one other thing that I wanted to touch on is, you know, I mean, like, you know, we mentioned my truck a little bit, and I don't want to ramble on too much, but I definitely got to give major props to my buddy Pete Ryberg from Big Dog Customs and Eric Fulber, you know, from NC Maryland, you know me, for helping me out with my paint. Fred Green from PPG for helping me out with my paint. Brad Wurzbacher for my interior. You know what I mean? Everybody from my club and, you know, that's ever helped me on my truck and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, everybody that's ever done anything, but I got to definitely give special shout outs to those guys that helped me get my truck to where it is today. You know, because without those guys, it would be done, but I don't think it would be done the way it is. You know, I've done a lot of stuff myself, but, you know, it's good to have great friends that'll pitch in and help you out and get things done. And, I appreciate that, man. Much love to these guys.
Hey, that's what it's about. The mini truck scene. You got a lot of good friends and family, people that get together. The good old days was, you know, cracking a drink in the garage and helping each other out. We definitely, in the midst of all of our careers and jobs and the soccer practice and dance recitals and all that, there's a lot going on. But I think if we can get back to our roots a little bit and try to help each other out, stay positive, you know, that's what it's about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Phil, yeah, that's awesome. Dude, it's been a pleasure. Before you go, let everyone know how to follow you on Instagram, if you know your handle, homie.
Well, I'm on Facebook, and then my Instagram is Phil_Fowler. On Instagram much, so yeah, I mean, if you see me on there and you send me stuff, I'll usually check the messages, but I'm a Facebook junkie, you know what I mean? Maybe that's just because I'm old, but yeah, so I thank you for the opportunity to be on here. I really appreciate what you guys are doing for the scene. You know, it's really cool to be part and to even be considered in these top shelf people that you guys have had on, that even put myself in the caliber with some of these people, some of the guests that you guys have had. So I appreciate you hold me in that regard, to think I was worthy enough to be a guest. I hope my interview didn't disappoint. But we finally got it knocked out, man. Finally got it knocked out 50 episodes later.
I know, for everyone, you know, we've alluded to it, and I think it was the only interview that we've ever lost. I had a memory card. I deleted everything on it, and it should have been clean. Did the interview. I had misplaced my main memory card. So, you know, we started, and for some reason, Phil didn't have the best feeling about the interview. We kind of bounced around a little bit. And that was, as he mentioned, 50 episodes ago, probably 2 years ago. I don't know, year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. But speaking of that, the audio did clip out there a second. I had a little bit of a challenge with Wi-Fi. Can you give us your Instagram name just one more time, Phil?
Phil_Fowler.
So boom, Fowler. First name Phil, Phil. Look him up. You guys know him, but if you don't, make sure you follow him on Instagram. You'll see that badass Ranger right there posted up. You'll see some of the Low Roller 25th anniversary shirts. What a good dude. If you see him at a show and you've never talked with him, slap hands with the big homie. And, you know, hey, just keep doing your thing, man. We got nothing but respect for you, bro.
Thanks, brother.
All right, man. I just want to say, Airhead Nation, we hope you enjoyed this one. Brought to you by Hammered Weekend Wear. We out ya.
Dumbs bust the scientifical approach to the course, and the force is centrifugal. Can you find your way through the lyrics that be catching them? Throw another rhyme across the room, they be fetching them. And they take a loss to the master. And I throw his crazy blows, and they knows I be blastering all across the room, on the ceilings and the walls too. Punk little suckers didn't know I had the gall to come around they block with my cock diesel system and turn it up to 10 and then start to diss them. And they didn't want to battle if they did when they saw me. They'd have opened up their trunk, but they tried to ignore me. Hey little suckers, I know you hear me calling you. Thought you wanted some, but I see that you're all into frontin'. Ain't no future in your frontin', so let's get it on like Marvin Gaye. Take the cash and sit it on the hood of your wick whack, low riding Cadillac. Back up your boys and let's start the battle act like, you know, the master ace. Don't play when it comes to my bass.
Ah, check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby.
I was born wrong.
The block, like what else should a brother do? It's Saturday, it's Saturday, the heat might smother you. Rolling down my windows, yeah, I have an air conditioner, but I got the sound I want the whole world to listen to. Waiting at a red light, Kentucky Fried Chicken and flowing theory taping, bass crazy kicking in. See this Puerto Rican Latin Chico Rico Suave in the red Corolla. Ayo, does he wanna play? Pulling up beside me, looking like he want it. Show me what you got, then watch me get up on it. Holding up traffic, but we can't hear they horns, cause he got music a grande, yeah, he got it going on. But I think I better school him, cause he don't know the time. So I'm turning up the boom, cause he cannot mess with mine. Brothers hit me hitting from like 50 blocks away. I wanna turn the heads so you know I got to play. High decibels passing through a residential district. See a few cuties and I turn it up like this quick. Mira, mira, man, don't sleep. I got the woofers in my Jeep.
Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby,
I was born bro.
Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby, check it out, dog. Check it out, baby,
I was born bro.
Black boy, turn that shit down. You know that America don't wanna hear the sound of the bass drum. Jungle music, go back to Africa. Nigga, I'll arrest ya if you're holding up traffic. I'll be damned if I listen, so cops save your breath. And write another ticket if you have any left. I'm breaking eardrums while I'm breaking the law. I'm disturbing all the peace, cause sister soldier said war. So catch me if you can, here's a donut. Cause once you drive away, yo, you know I'm gonna go nut. And turn it up the way it was before, nice try. But you can't stop the power of the bass in your eye. I wonder if I blasted a little Elvis Presley. Would they pull me over and attempt to arrest me? I really doubt it. They probably start dancing, jumping on my tip and pissing in their pants and wiggling and jiggling and grabbing on their pelvis. But you know my name, so you never hear no Elvis. Strictly the hardcore, dirty street level hits. Guards on my side, so watch what the devil gets. Positivity hitting 50 levels deep. Coming out the woofers in my Jeep.
Check it out, baby. Check it out, dog.